Welcome to A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. I'm Mike Papali, and I'm the president and founder of In a Heartbeat, a nonprofit organization with a mission to prevent death from sudden cardiac arrest. I went into sudden cardiac arrest at age 17 and have been living with heart disease for over a decade. This podcast will dissect the physical and emotional obstacles of living with heart disease and how to overcome them. I am inviting you to join me on my personal journey of living as a heart disease patient. The ultimate goal of this podcast is to help heart disease patients of all ages live a long and normal life. Welcome everyone to the next episode of A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. A Big Heart is powered by In a Heartbeat. In a Heartbeat is a nonprofit organization with a mission to prevent death from sudden cardiac arrest. This is done by donating AEDs, providing CPR and AED training, raising money for research projects, providing support to patients, and offering free ECGs to children, teens, and young adults. To learn more about In a Heartbeat, please visit www.inaheartbeat.org. All right, welcome back to another episode of A Big Heart. Before we get going here, I'm going to apologize in advance. I don't think I've mentioned this in any of my previous episodes here, but I am a high school basketball coach, and here in Connecticut, we were just approved last week by the DPH and the state to have our high school season. So I've spent the last week in a gym with a mask on, coaching kids, running tryouts, having practice, and my voice is still adjusting. So I truly do apologize in advance if my voice is sounding pretty rough right now. But I'm really excited to be back here and talking about our topic this week, which is something that I think anybody that has a heart disease or anybody that suffered a sudden cardiac arrest can definitely relate to. And that is talking about relationships. So in this episode, I'm going to give some thoughts based on experiences I have and some different opinions I have on relationships with your family, your friends, and also a significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife. And obviously, as we know, going through a heart disease diagnosis or suffering from sudden cardiac arrest is a challenge, not only for the patient, but for the people around them. And I think it's really, really important to continue to strengthen those relationships with the people around you. And there's some different ways that, you know, it might take some time to adjust and some learning. But I think it's really important to continue to strengthen the relationships with the people around you. So again, we're going to talk about your family, your friends, and significant others. And first up is we're going to talk about family. And I've always said this, for a long time since my sudden cardiac arrest, that it is truly harder, in my opinion, on the family than it is for the patient. And I'm going to tell you why I think that. So I don't remember my sudden cardiac arrest. I don't remember 2.5 hours before to 2 days after. But, you know, my dad and my brother were right there and my mom was on her way. And they had to live for days not knowing if I was going to live or if I was going to die. And if I was going to live, whether or not I would be normal and have any brain damage or not. So I can't even imagine what those days were like, not knowing, being in the unknown. I had no concept of time. I didn't really know what was going on. I've always believed that it really is truly harder on the patient than it is for the family. Same thing when I have surgeries, right? You know, when the patient goes in for surgery, they put you under anesthesia. So you have absolutely no concept of time. You know, you don't know what's going on. The surgery could take 12 hours, but the last thing you're going to remember is when you fell asleep. You know, your family and the people around you live through it all. And sitting in that waiting room, I can't imagine that the seconds feel like hours, the hours feel like days. And, you know, a 1 hour or 2 hour surgery can feel like an eternity for them. Just waiting to kind of get that news from the doctor that everything's okay. And I've never been on that side of it. I've always been on the side that was in the operating room, that didn't have a concept of time. I can't imagine what it's like sitting there just wondering, you know, even for a basic surgery, you know, is something going to go wrong? Is everything going to go be okay? When is the doctor going to come out? When are we going to get good news? You know, I would imagine just a brutal time to sit there and you do all these things to try to help distract you, but there's nothing that can help that time go past any faster than it's going. So again, you know, I really truly believe that it's harder for the family than it is for the patient. You know, as patients, we deal with the pain, which, you know, there is some physical pain that can come with surgeries and being in the hospital and having IVs and having blood drawn and, you know, having an ICD placed and whatever kind of comes up. There definitely is some physical pain. But, you know, the families are the ones that are dealing with what I call is the unknown. It's like, what's going to happen? And that's a really scary place to be. Just not knowing one way or another is definitely a really, really scary place. So, you know, after I went through my cardiac arrest, one of the first things that I can reflect on is that within a family, everybody handles things differently. And I'll speak on my family in particular. You know, I grew up, it was my mom, my dad, myself, and my brother. Three guys and one girl. To be completely upfront and honest, my dad, my brother, and me, neither one of us, none of us wanted to talk about it. We weren't outwardly emotional about what happened to me. We didn't talk about the cardiac arrest. We kind of just wanted it to just disappear. And we had the attitude of like, it's over, it's done with, it's time to move on. And my mom was a little different. She was definitely a little more outwardly emotional and talking about it. And it made for some definitely a little bit of a conflict. And, you know, we tried to go to therapy as a family. And to be completely honest, it didn't really work. I know I touched on this in some previous episodes, but I truly do believe in therapy. But overall, I think the most important thing is to be respectful of everyone's feelings. So looking back, you know, to my cardiac arrest at age 17 and even my open heart surgery at age 25, you know, I wish I was a little more respectful. And same with, you know, my dad and my brother, I wish we were all a little more respectful about how my mom felt, because just because we didn't want to talk about it didn't mean it was right to internalize everything with my mom, because she did want to talk about it and she needed to. So I don't think there's a right or a wrong way to handle some of these situations. I would say, you know, I'm not an outwardly emotional person and I don't love talking about, you know, the hard feelings sometimes. So again, I think the most important thing is that, you know, as a patient, you're open to understanding how different people feel and how different people handle the situation, and that you're supportive of them and you're respectful of them. And again, looking back, I definitely wish I was a little more respectful of how my mom felt and I wasn't just, you know, forcing myself not to talk about it. And then, you know, the other thing about family is this, and you know, I went to my cardiac arrest at age 17, and if we have young listeners here, I know they can definitely relate, and really this is for listeners of any age. And the fact is, you know, when something like this happens to you, your family's going to worry about you. Again, no matter how old you are, whether you're a kid, whether you're an adult, your family's going to worry about you because they love you and they care about you. You know, again, when I was 17 years old, I was still under my parents' care, right? I was still living at home at my mom and dad's house. And parents do everything in their power to keep your children safe. It's like once you have a child, you know, you feel like that's your duty. You have to keep this child safe. And you try to control everything they do to make sure they're safe. And, you know, when something like this happens, like a cardiac arrest or a heart disease diagnosis, you know, it's parents lose the control that they want to have, and that's scary for them. And what happened with me is, you know, we went through the cardiac arrest and we went through 2 weeks in the hospital, and then I came home and my parents were kind of trying to figure out, okay, how do we control Mike's life and how do we keep him safe now after cardiac arrest and after being diagnosed with heart disease and after having an ICD implanted? How can we control him and how can we keep him safe? It's a natural instinct for a parent, a mom or a dad. So to be completely honest, at first I was so frustrated about it because, you know, my mom would come in and check on me at night. And to be honest, she was coming in to check to see if I was alive and breathing and making sure I was okay. And, You know, they were on me and making sure I was taking my medicine and constantly asking how I was feeling, telling me not to overdo it and to tone it down and to, you know, relax and you know, because they didn't want anything to happen to me. And as, you know, again, in the beginning, I hated this. It drove me absolutely insane. It was like, you know, there was some friction there, I think, between my parents and I, because I just wanted to be kind of left alone and move on. But they were, you know, constantly checking on me, which, you know, now that I'm a little older and a little more mature, I can look back and I can completely understand why they did that, because they were scared, right? They're my parents, and they wanted to keep me safe. And hearing me talk and asking me questions is how they were keeping me safe and reassuring themselves. So, you know, as time went on, obviously, I came to understand this. And, you know, I'm 31 years old now, and I know my parents still worry about me, and I don't live with them, so they don't have the 24/7 access to me like they once did, but they're always still checking in. And, you know, even in the midst of we're living through a pandemic right now, and, you know, they're very cautious with me about that, because they know I have heart disease, and they don't want, you know, me to be in a position where, you know, I could get sick and have something affect my heart. So, you know, again, as a patient, my advice to other patients in this situation would be to, you know, again, respect your family, respect that they worry about you, understand why they worry about you, because they love you and they care about you, and do things to reassure them, right? Reassure them that you are doing everything in your power to keep yourself safe. Like, I know my parents like to hear me say that I am doing the things I should be doing to keep myself safe, because it's reassuring to them, right? You know, reassure your family that you're feeling okay, and that you're confident about life, and that you know how you're going to live your life with heart disease, and you're doing everything you can to keep yourself safe. So, you know, that would be my suggestion, is to constantly reassure your family that, you know, you're doing everything in your power to help, you know, help keep them safe. Keep yourself safe, and you're not going to go against the doctor's orders. You know, you understand why they worry about you, and just respect that. So that pretty much wraps up what I wanted to say about, you know, different relationships with my family and with your family as a heart disease patient or a cardiac arrest survivor. Now I'm going to talk about, friendships. And I think there's, some interesting, topics here within friendships that I want to talk about. So, I know I touched about, on this in an earlier episode. I think the first and foremost, and the most important thing is to be open and honest with your friends. Talk about your heart disease. Make sure they know it. Make sure they understand it. And to be completely honest, because I've had the privilege of speaking to patients, to families at different conferences all over the country, and this question has come up before. Is like, you know, what, you know, do you tell your friends? And of course you tell your friends. And to be completely honest, if your friends, especially, you know, for the young middle school kids or the high school kids or even young adults, you know, if your friends don't accept you and can't understand how you might not be able to do everything they can do and how you might have some limitations or how you might have to be more careful about certain things, more so than they do, then they really aren't your friends. And it's, you know, what I would say is just eliminate these people from your life. I know another thing that we deal with as, you know, heart disease patients is we don't want to be looked at funny and we don't want to be treated funny, right? We don't want to be treated differently than anybody else just because we have heart disease. And I think because of this, we have a fear of telling people, right? And because we don't want these people to treat us differently, right? If I'm hanging out with a group of my friends, I don't want them to treat me differently just because I have heart disease and they don't. And I think this is completely normal, right? I don't want to be treated differently. You know, I appreciate people worrying about me, but I want to be treated just like all my other friends. And again, I think this is an important thing to be honest about, is to make sure your friends understand what your limitations are, what you can and can't do. And when you're all together, there's no reason to be treated differently than those around you. You know, over the weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I attended one of my favorite conferences of the year. It was virtual, of course, and it was hosted by Parent Heart Watch. And if you're a listener and you haven't heard of Parent Heart Watch yet or looked it up, I strongly suggest you do, because it's an incredible, incredible organization that supports young heart disease patients, cardiac arrest survivors, and their family. So And part of the conference, they put they gave the option to get into a virtual room with other cardiac arrest survivors and other heart disease patients and talk about a whole variety of topics. So this kind of came up in the room, and I wanted to bring it up today because I thought it was interesting. It wasn't something that I thought too much about before. And that was kind of like the origin of your friendships. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, you know, again, my cardiac arrest happened at age 17. And when you're a kid, oftentimes, and even honestly, even when you're an adult, your friendships originate based on the activities that you do, the sports that you play, the hobbies that you have. That's how you meet your friends, right? So many of us who are diagnosed with heart disease, or many of us that go into sudden cardiac arrest, are eliminated from a sport that we play, a hobby that we have, an activity that we do. And one of the things we talked about in this group was, like, after you're eliminated, it's kind of difficult to keep some of these relationships, right? Because now all of a sudden the one item, well, you know, for me it was basketball, that you bond over and you create this, like, great friendship over, you don't do it anymore. And in my life, to give you an honest example, my best friend and I met at basketball camp, the same basketball camp that I went in the cardiac arrest at, but we met at that same camp when we were 7 years old. 7 years old, we played basketball together from day one. If I went over his house on the weekends, we went to the YMCA, we went to the park, we went somewhere to play basketball. If he came over to my house on the weekends, we played basketball in my backyard. Again, we'd go to the YMCA in my town. We would go to a park. We would find people to play basketball with. And we were inseparable because of that. And we're still best friends to this day. But looking back, I mean, it was challenging to kind of like, okay, like, what do we do when we hang out now? Because he could keep playing basketball and I can't. So, like, does he still want me to go over his house on the weekends? Because I know he wants to still go to the YMCA and play. And I'm just not able to do that. And don't get me wrong in this. You know, we're still best friends to this day. His family and him were more than supportive. They were with me every step of the way. But looking back, it was like after my cardiac arrest and after I got eliminated from basketball, it was like, okay, now what? You know, what's our friendship now? So, and over time, you know, it's strengthened over you know, growing up, you know, going to college and becoming young adults. And we had that bond, and he played basketball the whole way, and it didn't affect anything. You know, but looking back, there are other people in my life that I was pretty close friends with that, you know, once I stopped playing basketball, I didn't have that same bond with them anymore. So, you know, it was just something, you know, it was an interesting topic that I wanted to bring up on this podcast because, again, I think, you know, I think it's important to be open and honest with these people about how you feel. And you know, make sure these people understand that, you know, your friendships are more than just whatever sport or hobby or activity that was taken away from you. So that's pretty much all I have on friends. And the last one that I'm going to touch on here is significant others. And I'm kind of chuckling here because I'm definitely not an expert on this topic, but I will say that I was dating someone when I was 17 in high school during my cardiac arrest, and I was dating someone different when I was 25 during my open heart surgery. So there's a couple things I've learned about, you know, these types of relationships going through, because to be completely honest, it's not normal for a 17-year-old couple to go through a near-death experience. It's not normal for a 25-year-old couple to go through a near-death experience. So it's a little bit of, you know, unknown territory when it happens and how to handle it. So looking back, you know, I think there's definitely things that I would do differently. So the first thing I've learned is this, and I didn't get this at first, and it took both instances for me to understand this, but just because you go through something traumatic with someone doesn't mean you are meant to be together. And I think that gets, like, you know, mistaken a lot, right? You know, we went through this together. We can do everything. We're meant to be together. And that's definitely not the case. Just because you go through something with somebody and they're there for you, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily the right person for you to spend the rest of your life with. Of course, you know, there are exceptions and sometimes it does work out. But it isn't a given just because you go through something with someone. So that's the first thing. And again, it, you know, this was a learning experience for me because, you know, obviously I had people around me that were really supportive, and part of you forces yourself to believe that, okay, this person was there for me. So they, you know, we should be together forever. And the second thing is this, you know, I think it's important to ask this person in your life, how are you doing? Like, how are you doing with all of this? Because I'm kind of going back to my point earlier. It's harder for those around you, right? It's a really, really hard for the people around you. And for me personally, as a patient, I developed this, I guess I would call it a defense mechanism, that everything's okay, or I'm fine. Everything's fine. And that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell the nurses, the doctors, my friends, my family, whoever it is, everything's fine. And when you say it's fine over and over again, you start to believe it. So I truly believe that I was good. I'm fine. I'm going to get through this and I'm fine. We're good. But I don't think I ever took into enough account other people's feelings. So I don't think I ever asked the question like, okay, I'm fine, but how are you doing? And I think that's an important question that should be asked, especially when you're in a relationship with somebody. Like, just because you feel one way doesn't mean the other person feels the same way. And part of being in a relationship with somebody is to give them a chance to express their feelings and talk out however they're feeling. And again, that's something like looking back, like that's something that I probably would do differently. I didn't really take into account anybody else's feelings. You know, I certainly appreciated everybody that was there for me and helped me get through some really hard times. But I don't think I ever took the time to say, okay, like, I'm fine, but how are you? And take some time here and just open up and get all your feelings out and tell me how hard this has been for you, because you've been here for me and I'm here for you as well. So those are two things that I've learned about some relationships in my life that, you know, that I went through with people. And, you know, you can very easily always look back and see how, you know, you would definitely do things differently. So again, just to summarize, you know, relationships are challenging with, you know, your family, your friends, and significant others after being diagnosed with heart disease or going through a cardiac arrest. And like anything else that we're going to talk about on this podcast, it takes time. And, you know, relationships can be affected by you know, these traumatic events. And they don't necessarily get repaired overnight. And it isn't perfect overnight. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a process. And like I'll say all the time is be patient and don't expect it to just change overnight. Give it time, because, you know, relationships can stay healthy and get really, really strong after being diagnosed with heart disease or suffering a sudden cardiac arrest. And the two things I'm going to kind of, you know, recap, or two of the important things that I believe about relationships with anybody, again, family, friends, significant other, is number one is to be open and honest, always open and honest about everything. Make sure the people around you know how you feel, and ask the people around you, you know, how they're doing. Check in on them. Make sure they're doing okay, because just because they're not physically going through it, they're going through a very, very difficult emotional time as they're there for you during all the physical things that you're going through as a patient. So that wraps up this episode of A Big Heart. So I'm really, really excited about next week. Like I mentioned in some of my earlier episodes, we are going to start bringing guests on next week. And our first guest is going to be coming to us and talking about exercising with heart disease. And she is an expert in this field. And I'm super excited to kind of talk to her, get some of her insight. So that episode is going to drop a week from Monday, the first Monday in February. And until then, again, I appreciate you listening. Please take the time to follow us. If there's anybody that you think this podcast could help, please share the word. And the ultimate goal, again, let's build a community of patients and survivors that can all get together and help each other.
Thank you so much for listening to A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. If you liked this episode, it would mean so much to me if you could give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Like anything in life, the goal is to improve. Please provide any feedback you have, any topics you want to hear, or any guests that can provide value to our listeners. You can message us on Instagram at A Big Heart Podcast, or send us an email at mike@inaheartbeat.org. To learn more about In a Heartbeat and the programs we provide, please visit www.inaheartbeat.org. That is www.inaheartbeat.org.